Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo, and we're in part 191 of How to Have God's Life Living in You. This is program number 293. If you'd like a copy of it, make sure you have a paper and pencil handy or a pen. And there are items in this message and all the messages that I'm sure that you'd like to copy down, take notes. Because the reproof of the word of the Lord is the way of life. We have testimonies, we've got some songs, and a powerful message today. So listen up, and right now let's go to the throne of the Lord and ask Him to anoint this service. Father, thank You for Your life, the life that You've given us, eternal life for salvation, to be to actually have the so much love for us that You allow us to communicate to You, to the throne of Your throne in heaven. Pour out Your Spirit. Give us something tonight, Lord, that will strengthen the church and that will save souls. For we ask it in Jesus' mighty name, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right, now, H.B. Barnum is a person that I've worked with in the musical industry for, I don't want to tell, because it gives away H.B.'s age. But we were both out in the world together, and then both of us got saved. And so he's written this song and conducts it. He's, I think, one of the very best arrangers in the world. And conductors, and this song is called, this is his choir, the Life Choir, and this song is He Gave Me Life.
Thank you.
All right, that was 6 minutes of powerful singing, I would say. Powerful words. I get touched more by that song that H.B. wrote than I do that Passion play that had all kinds of nuns in it and everything, and which was directed and produced, I guess, by this anti-Semitic director. You know, you people that are anti-Semitic, if I were you, I'd repent from that right away, because you're going to have to face the world's greatest Jew who created heaven and earth, and you better repent. Everyone's going to have to kneel down before him and confess him to be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he's going to come back and take vengeance on all you unrighteous people out there that love to just see if God is going to let us be destroyed. And if, you know, if that would happen, well, you know, it doesn't make any difference to me, because the minute that anybody would do anything to me, the minute I die, I'm just 100% sure that I'll be right there in a much better place than this, this world. Now, we've got some, I'm going to give you some secrets. It's the glory of God to hide golden nuggets of his word from people, because he doesn't want people that don't seek to know certain things. And even those of you that don't like the Lord, even when I tell you these secret things, they won't register in your wicked heart or your wicked minds, because you don't have the mind of Christ. You can't receive them because they're spiritual and you're carnal. But the Lord doesn't want it to be that way, and we here at the Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, we don't want it to be that way either. We want you to be saved. Amen?
Amen.
Because really, you know, with all your persecutions, you're a nuisance. But what it does is that nuisance brings us closer to the Lord. You know, it's just like mosquitoes or something. Mosquitoes and flies. You know, if they had that kind of fly paper, you know, for nuisances, I'd buy some. But the Lord does a better job on you. We pray that he'll get a hold of your heart. So I have some very important secrets for those of you that love the Lord, for those of you that are praying. This is for primarily for your glorious prayer room, the place where you pray. There's a lot of people that I know. I can tell when people are prayed and when they're not prayed up, because I'm prayed up. And the people that are not prayed up, they stick out like sore thumbs. They're disobedient to the Word of God. And they just think that the job that they do, which they think that they're doing, is the actual commandment of the Lord. No, they're helping out and they're aiding the church. If you send finances in, or if you are a carpenter or a typist or somebody that packages these messages or tapes them or puts them together in one way or the other, that's, you know, you're helping, but that doesn't mean that you're going to get into the kingdom of heaven. You can do all sorts of things, even give your body to be burned. You can give all kinds of money to these different churches, all kinds of churches, and even this church, and if you don't keep the commandments of the Lord, you're lost. Amen?
Amen.
And you can't buy your way into heaven, and you can't do, you know, work your own works to get into heaven. So a bunch of people came to me and stated that they, after I began bringing these messages, the messages that you've been hearing the last few days, they came to me and said that they were neglecting prayer, as if I didn't know. But when they heard these messages, they were able to later tell me that they had the victory, and they were able to live around the throne, and therefore be able to come to their senses and take the power that they received in the prayer room out to the people in the world. And because their eyes had been opened completely regarding prayer, to see that the Lord really supplies all power for all, everyone, that he requires from those of us who are in his body. We must become holy, because he is holy, and the only way that that is possible is to stay before the throne. One of the people that came to me and told me this was Tommy Scarcella, one of the people in the church that's been here for around 36, 37 years, who always likes to know if there are some other suggestions that I could be given, that could be given to as to the best way of something, of spending time with the Lord. Not wasting time, but getting quality time in the glorious prayer room or wherever it is that you pray. Possibly these suggestions or these secrets will be of some value to you to help you to live an overcoming Christian life. This is what I do before you enter into the prayer room or into your closet, wherever you pray. Let the first thing that you do is, I'll bring the rest of the message later. Okay? But we do have some testimonies here. All right? So, where's the first one from, Lydia?
From Ghana, Africa.
All right.
Dearest Pastor Tony Alamo, greetings to you. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through God our Father and through the Lord Jesus Christ. Quote, for the Father lavished his love upon us that we should be called the children of God. 1 John 3:1. Pastor, I would like to thank you for the materials you are sending. May the God of our Lord Jesus bless you abundantly through all his riches. My wife and I are busy distributing your literature and newsletters. I have opened a Pastor Tony Alamo church and school. So many people are coming to get your literature. Many repent and get baptized. This Pastor Alamo church and school is very busy by schooling students and people from other churches. They come in asking questions and then repent from their sins. So please, Pastor Alamo, send many literature of different kinds, many newsletters, and your books entitled The Messiah. Thousands of people are coming as if I were giving them a lot of money, but it's the Word of God that I'm giving them.
Well, you know, the Word of God, if it's received in your heart, is so much more valuable than money. Gold, rubies, silver, sapphires, everything. There's nothing in the world that can has the value that the Word of God has. Because the Word of God is Jesus. The Word became flesh and lived among us here on earth, we humans. Go ahead.
I am busy baptizing people who have repented from their sins.
But isn't it nice to hear that there's people out so hungry that they just barnstorm your church, your house, or wherever he's at, and they are so thirsty and hungry for the Word of God that they just come like they're going to get $100 bills or something.
Amen.
Okay, then what?
I am busy baptizing people who have repented from their sins in the river. I want to continue preaching with your literature so that people can receive Jesus and get baptized in the river Birim. Your literature is the net for the fish. Many blessings from God be with you and those people who are busy serving in your ministry. Yours faithfully, Pastor John from Kade, Ghana, Africa.
Praise the Lord. I heard a pastor stating, I really liked the message that he was preaching. He was saying, how many times can you catch a fish? In other words, once you bring the fish in, they're supposed to stay into the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
He says, you know, so that you can be fried, so that you can die. The Bible states that we have to, the Holy Spirit, when we get so close to the Lord, that the Holy Spirit mortifies our desire to sin, that the Holy Spirit mortifies the flesh. And there's no possible way that the flesh can be mortified or the fish can be fried until you reach the throne of the living God and stay there. Because the minute you leave, then, you know, you're back into the ocean of sin. A cloud comes over you, and you don't even know that you're sinning. That's the problem. There's so much deception, so much evil in this world today, that it's become a cloud and has shut the eyes of the people of the world to where they blindly follow the Antichrist, the Vatican, its world government, and the news media at large, because it's Satan that's feeding that cult in Rome, the one called church, okay, the church in Rome. Satan needed a church and a government and a mouth in order to hypnotize you people out in the world. They use something just as strong as voodoo. They use something just as strong as hoodoo, hypnotism. They hypnotize you, and that's how the whole world is deceived, like the Lord said it would be. So don't fall for it. Get into the Word of God. And they say that that we have hypnotized all these people that are getting saved. But all I'm preaching is the Word of God. And I'd rather be hypnotized by the Lord if that's what it was. No, it's a heart condition. When we receive the Word into our heart, that means we're receiving Jesus into our heart. It's not anything that is hypnotic. But Satan is very subtle. He's satanically clever. And the Bible says that his power to deceive in the last days would be so powerful that the people in the world, even the very elect, would be deceived if possible. And there's no possibility of being deceived if you're in the Word and at the throne. And so that when you're at the throne, you're in your glorious prayer room or your closet or wherever you pray, that you're before the throne, and the Lord's power, his holiness, is affecting you to the point to where you can be an influence to the lost people of the world. Okay, now where's the next one?
From Jersey City, New Jersey.
Okay.
Robert, a distributor from Jersey City, called the witnessing line to request more literature and to let you know he was very happy and surprised to see your testimony, Dry Bones, on a full page in the New York Daily News. He tore it out and kept it. Mr. Allen, aside from distributing your literature, receives your messages on CD, which he said he prefers over listening to them on the radio, since on CD he can listen to them at his liking at any time. He is requesting from you the Book of Jasher and any other restored books you may have available that you spoke of in your messages.
But the Book of Jasher is mentioned at least twice in the Bible that I know of, and there are many other books. There are many quotations in the Bible from the Book of Enoch, the first, second, and third Book of Enoch. And there was a man that was a Roman Catholic. I don't know whether he was in the Vatican or not, but he was the sole person that chose what books would go into the Bible. So really, we don't have the entire Bible unless you read Jasher and Enoch. And there's some bad books of Enoch that Satan gets in. There's some bad churches, a lot of them. There's more bad churches than there are good. And there's more bad books that claim to be Bibles than there are good. There's just one book. It's the, of course, you know, you've got your original writings and then the translation to the King James. And some of the people didn't understand Aramaic, which was the language that Jesus spoke. He also spoke Hebrew. But Aramaic is like, to compare it to Aramaic, we say English is the major language, and people in England speak it, and they speak it in the United States. So that's the way it is with Hebrew. Hebrew is just a different dialect of Aramaic. Aramaic is a major language, and now it's become a language that they don't speak much anymore, but I love to read the Aramaic, and I love to hear the Hebrew, because it has a ring to it that is undeniable. All right, so we have, I was telling you about going into the prayer room, into your closet, and let the first thing you do is to go into the prayer room. Do you want to know what it is?
Yes.
And that is to go in being thankful. Thankful. Some people just say, thank you, Jesus, praise you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus, but they really don't, it's not coming from their heart, it's just from their lips. First thing you do is go in being thankful to God for his unspeakable love to us that actually invites us to come and talk to him. I mean, who do you think you are? You know, here we are, just human beings that God created out of dirt. And he saved, died for us on the cross. And then after we're saved, after we've been washed from our sins by the precious blood that he shed for us on the cross at Calvary, and the Spirit of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus is the fullness of the Godhead bodily, enters us. Then what happens is he invites us to grow in grace or grow in power. He invites us to come up and talk to him, to communicate to him. And I think people should be thankful for that. Amen?
Amen.
Because you'll really get a lot of power by thanking God for the things. You need to have the knowledge of what God has done for you and I and everyone in the world. Not everybody accepts that mercy and is thankful for what he does, because people are worse than dogs. You know, because God did all these things, and he feeds you every day of your life, and you get to breathe his air that he created, and the abundance of fruits and vegetables and different delicacies on this earth that the Lord has provided for us. And especially for those that keep his commandments, and especially for those people that thank the Lord. Okay, so the first thing you do is go into your glorious prayer room, being thankful to his unspeakable love to us that he actually invites us, including you, to come to him and to have conversation, to be able to freely, without any charge of money or anything, or you don't have to stand on your head or on one foot or whip yourself like some religions do. They take a cat of nine tails and beat themselves. He doesn't require any of that. He just says, come on up. He invites you to talk to him, and then you have to listen to him. You can freely talk with him. Don't you think that would be a very good for you to thank God that he's available to talk to you at any time of the day or night? But so few people do that, because you can see there's no power in their lives because they have an unthankful heart. It's very hard to look around you, you know, after you've had a nice house and cars and clothing and food and everything, to be thankful, because you just take it as it's, we're used to it. But you can't really be used to this, can you, or to get so used to going up to the throne. If you're going up to the throne, then you're a thankful person. Amen?
Yes.
I remember Sharon, my wife, had horrible headaches. Migraine headaches. And so she was vomiting, and I was asking, what's the matter? She says, I've got these migraine headaches. I always get them. She's used to them. So I says, well, I read that you could stick your foot in a bucket of hot water, and it'll draw the blood down from your head, because that's what it is a stagnant blood in your head that causes headaches. And then I thought, well, first I says, well, let's pray. And so I prayed, you know, before I even said that. And nothing happened. So I'm wondering, what's the matter, God? You always heal people when I pray for them. We have a close relationship. And so I put her feet, I told her to put her feet in this bug in the bathtub, you know, and fill it up with hot water. That didn't do any good. She just kept throwing up. And so I asked the Lord, what's wrong? Have I done something wrong to where when I pray that people don't get healed? And he said, she's unthankful. That's the reason for it. So I started telling her, you've got this beautiful son, and you've got me. You should be thankful for that, and all these other things. And I started enumerating some of the things. You've got God, you're born again of the Spirit, you're going to heaven, all these things. So I said, now start, write these things down, and let's start thanking and praising the Lord. As soon as he did, go ahead and tell him. As soon as he did, have you ever had migraine headaches again?
No, I was instantly healed as soon as I realized my unthankfulness and was thankful. I was healed completely, and I've never had a headache since then.
And how many years would that be?
At least 14 years.
All right, so all those of you out there that have some kind of problem like that, thank God that he's available to talk to you at any time of the day or night. You can wake up in the middle of the night, and either God's not going to, you know, if you call him on a toll-free call, he's not going to get angry at you for calling on him anytime, because he wants you to. It's an open invitation any time of the day or night. Now, if you have a cold heart, if your heart is cold and dead, you'll have to remember one thing. That being a born-again Christian is not a matter of feeling. But it has to do with, first, with your will. You have to want to do that. You have to want to get rid of your headache. You have to want to grow in the power of God. It has to be a matter of your will. So even though you don't feel like it, start praising and thanking the Lord and raise your heart to God. And as I said, thank him for the assurance that you have that he looks for. You have everything that he looks for. He always does look down on you. And he's going to bless you. You know, some people, they're sick. Like this Terry Shiloh, I did everything I could possibly do to get this wicked Antichrist government to let me go in and pray for her because she would have been healed. But no, they preferred to starve her to death. No food, no water. And they're doing that all over the country. This is like it was in Germany. They really think that if you're suffering, they forget about prayer. No, God is not alive. God doesn't have the power. And you people are going to stand judgment if you don't repent. By having such an act of faith, you honor God and draw your soul away from being occupied with yourself. So you draw your soul away from itself, or being occupied with itself. Oh, my soul lusteth for this, and my soul lusteth for that. Many times you have to think also of the glorious power of the Lord Jesus, who is willing to teach you to pray and to give you the disposition to pray. Think also of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit who was purposely given to cry, Abba, Father, when he enters into your mortal body. Because your spirit, being united with the Father's, with the Lord Jesus, with the Holy Spirit, calls out, now you say, Father, because God is your Father and you are his Son. You become sons of God. That's Galatians 4:6. So we'll probably be, if we have time, start reading from the fourth chapter of Galatians. In your heart. So you'll say, Abba, Father, in your heart. And to help your weakness, or weaknesses, in prayer, that's what he'll do. If you spend around 5 minutes doing this, it will strengthen you. It'll strengthen your faith. I mean, I'm not talking about 5 minutes. The Bible says pray without ceasing. Pray always. It'll strengthen your faith for your work in the prayer room, the glorious prayer room, where you go into the prayer room and take God's invitation. You begin praying with the act of thanksgiving that the Lord is willing. You're thanking him because he's willing to hear little old nothing you and me. Okay? What manner of love the Lord shows us, you know, to that he would pay attention to mere us. Amen?
Amen.
And have a conversation with you. He'll actually converse with you, but you got to listen. And praise God for the inner prayer room inside the closet. Because that's where you're going to start talking to God, and he'll say something to you, too, that will strengthen you. I was put in prison for the gospel, just like so many other Christians. And after about 3.5 years, I cried out, Lord, or maybe it was 3 years, Lord, what is this? Am I in here for any wrong that I've done? Give me something that I can have more strength. I seem like I'm weak. I want to know for sure that I'm all right with you. That's the main thing. If I know that I'm right with you, I don't care if I go to nailed to a cross either. Or thrown into a fire like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, where you came into the fire with them. And I says, give me something. He said, you're saved. And I says, praise you, Lord. Lord, you got to raise my hands up. That was so good to hear those two words, you're saved. And after praising the Lord for 5 minutes, I said, something more, Lord. Give me something. He says, you're going to heaven. Oh, that did it. I was able to make it the rest of the time, the rest of the sentence. Praise the Lord. I'm saved and I'm going to heaven. Praise the Lord. So we go into the inner prayer room or the closet, the glorious closet, and receive the promise of blessings in there. People that are not saved, all they can see is this cold, vicious, wicked world. And they don't have anything to bank on, anything to make them know that they're going to be in heaven. Okay, now, another secret. You want to hear it?
Yeah.
Okay. Another secret, the thing to do, is you must prepare your heart. You have to do it yourself. You have to prepare your heart, yourself, for prayer. By prayerfully reading the Bible. Lord, where should I read? Where should I study? The big reason for that, why the prayer room is not attractive to, is that people do not know how to pray. They don't know how to prepare their heart before they go into the prayer room. Their warehouse of words are so exhausted. In other words, their ability to be able to speak to the Lord or to know their hearts are not prepared. There's nothing that comes out of their heart to the Lord because, first of all, they're primarily not thankful, and they're not thankful for being able to talk to Him. And so it's a real hard way to go into the prayer room. It's a hard thing for them to, after they're prayed up, to go out into the world with the power that they receive from being in the prayer room to witness to souls, to bring them into church, to compel them to come into church. So their words, their vocabulary is very limited. And they do not know what to say to the Lord. They don't know. They say a few words, oh Lord, you know, bless mom and bless dad and bless this guy and that man, this girl and that girl. And my kids, and what else? That's it. Or help the people over in Europe, or not anymore Europe, everywhere in the world, over in Iraq, in Israel, especially everywhere. How this happens is because they forget that prayer is not something that is just for yourself. If you think it's just for yourself, it's just, bless mom, bless mom, bless grandma, grandpa, and the kids, and so on. Praying is not just for yourself. Look at the conditions in the world today, where everything comes from one side. That's all. You just one way, and that's your way. It is the dialogue where God's children or his child listens to what the Lord says and then replies to it and then asks for the things you need. Well, how do I know what the Lord wants? From reading the Word. You can see. Look in the newspaper. See all the things, the people in the world that are being destroyed. The wars, the rumors of wars, the killings. The drive-by killings and all these different things, all the sickness, disease, the famines in the world. Read a few verses from the Bible. Don't concern yourself with the difficulties contained in them. You can consider these later. You know, there's people that you see that have difficulties in the Bible, and then they pray, and then the Lord takes the difficulties away. Amen?
Amen.
If you have the faith, the grain of a mustard seed, you can just say to yonder mountain, depart, and it'll be cast into the depths of the sea. Take what you understand. That's all you need is what you understand and apply it to yourself. And apply it to the people in the world. And ask for it to make his word become known in your heart. Let him turn on ask him to turn on the light and the power in you, and give you power in your heart. This way, you will have material enough for a conversation with the Lord, for a prayer from the word that the Father speaks to you. You'll also have the liberty to ask for the things that you need, but put others ahead of yourself. Amen?
Amen.
You have to keep continually doing that. And the inner prayer room, that glorious prayer room, will become at length, in a while, not a place for you sit around and sighing or going to sleep or you struggle. Only but one of a living fellowship with the Almighty God, the Creator of heaven and earth, and your Savior, with God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In heaven, prayerful study of the Bible is indispensable for powerful prayer. So when you have received the Word into your heart, return then to pray. That's the time to pray. But do not attempt it hastily or thoughtlessly, as though you know very well enough how to pray, because you don't. Prayer in our own strength brings on no blessing at all. Take time to present yourself reverently and in the fear of the Lord and the love of God, quietness before God. Remember, His greatness and holiness and love. Take over what you want to ask. Think it over and take it over to the throne room of the Lord. Don't be satisfied with going over the same things every day. There isn't a child in the world that goes on saying the same thing day after day to their earthly father. Today you'd think the little boy or girl would be retarded, amen?
Yeah.
So the conversation with the Father is colored by the needs of the day. Every day, one day at a time, there's something new on the scene. Let your prayers be something definite, arising either out of the Word of God that you have read, not of the real soul needs that you long to have satisfied. But let your prayers be so definite that you can say as you go out, I mean, I quote, I know what I have asked from my Father, and I expect an answer. And if you don't, well, then you don't have faith, and by faith you're saved, and doubt you're damned. Sometimes if you haven't got a good memory, take a piece of paper and write what you want on it, so that you can look at your notes when you go into the prayer room. So keep the paper as long as you need it until you start getting the unction from the Holy Spirit as to what to pray. It'll come to you. New needs occur every day. The Lord allows us to pray also that we are able to help the needs of other people. The Bible tells us that we are not to be concerned about ourselves primarily. We are to put other people before us. We are to put other people before us. I can say that twice or 100 times. Many people, and you say, well, I got to ask for myself, because if I don't, I'm just asking for other people. No, the Lord honors those that honor Him. He says, prefer others before. And when you do that, don't you think He sees that, and He knows your heart, and He's going to bless you more than you could ever be blessed if you prayed just for yourself. So many people, in reference to your own needs, the Lord refers to these type of scriptures. One of the biggest reasons why prayer in the glorious prayer room in your closet does not bring more joy and blessing is that it is too selfish. And selfishness is the death of prayer. If you want to put your prayer to death, just ask for yourself. You and yours. Nobody else exists on the world but you and yours. Remember your family, your congregation, with its interests, your own neighborhood and the church in which you belong, your city, your state, the United States, and all the other countries in the world. Israel, Jerusalem, let your heart be enlarged and take up the interests of missions and of other churches throughout the whole world. Become an intercessory prayer warrior, and you will experience for the first time the blessedness of prayer as you find out that God will make use of you to share His blessings with others through prayer, through your prayer. You will begin to feel that there is something worth living for as you find that you have something to say to God that will help others, and that from heaven He will do things in answer to your prayers that otherwise would not have been done. A child can ask his father for bread. A full-grown son converses with him about all the interests of his business and about his further purposes. A weak child of God prays only for himself, but a full-grown man in Christ, those are the ones who have the fullness of the stature of the Lord Jesus Christ. They understand how to consult with God over what must take place in the kingdom of heaven. Let your prayer list bear the names of those for whom you pray for. Your minister, your pastor, the prophet, and all other ministers and prophets in the world that are of the Lord, that are born again and really in the Lord, that are suffering persecution and slander and all the other things that happen to true witnesses of the Lord, true people of God. That minister and are aides to all the pastors. You know, there's so many aides that have to be in the church, and they get hit very hard also if they're aiding the prophets, the spiritual leaders, and the different missionaries all over the world, and the affairs with which you are connected. Thus, the inner chamber, or the glorious prayer room, or your closet will really become a wonder of God's blessings and God's glorious will be done, and a fountain of great joy will bloom in your heart. It will become the most blessed place on earth, your prayer room. It is a wonderful and great thing to say, but it is the simple truth that God will make it a Bethel, a home where His angels will ascend and descend, and where you will cry out, quote, "The Lord shall be my God," Genesis 28, verse 21. He will make it also a Peniel, where you will see the face of God as a prince of God, as one who wrestled with the angel and overcame him. That's Genesis 32:30. Don't you want to be a prince of the Lord? Amen?
Yeah.
And get up to the throne and get something done in this wicked world. The Lord sent us here to bring about the kingdom of heaven, and that will really do it. Okay, so I see my time is up right now, and we had a lot more, but make sure you tune in tomorrow for another powerful message. But what you want to do right now is let's go to the throne right now of God and get our salvation. How about that? Say this prayer to the Lord. My Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, the sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open the door of my heart, and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all my filthy sins away in the precious blood that you shed for me. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul. I know because your word says so. Your word says that all that call upon you shall be saved. Therefore, I'm calling on you, Lord. I know you've heard me, and I know you've answered me, and I know I'm saved. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, a thankful heart. I thank you, Father God. I thank you, Jesus, for saving my soul. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. And keep praising the Lord. Read the Bible. Follow these secrets of how to go into the prayer room and what to do. And share and tell them four different ways to receive a copy of this program, which is 293.
Go to alamoministries.com or write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas 75505, or call area code 479-782-7370 or fax to area code 479-782-7406.
All right, and praise the Lord. Now, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo saying tune in tomorrow, and you're going to receive another strong message, I pray. Right now here is H.P. Barnum's Life Choir singing the Life Prayer Song. Thank you.